Chapter 15. As these men planned the week's operation, so their men were at work in the earth below them. On 87 level, Kowalski moved like a great bear down the dimly lit drive. He had switched off the lamp on his helmet, and he moved without sound, lightly for a man of such bulk. He heard their voices ahead of him in the dimly lit tunnel, and he paused, listening intently. There was no sound of shovel crunching into loose rock, and Kowalski's Neanderthal features convulsed into a fearsome scowl. "Bastards," he muttered softly. "They think I am in Stopes, hey? They think it all right if they sit on fat black bum. No move to bloody rock, hey?" He started forward again, a bear on cat's feet. "They find plenty different from what they bloody think soon," he threatened. He stepped round the angle of the drive and flashed his lamp. There were three men Kowalski had put on, lashing, shoveling the loose stuff from the footwall into waiting cocoa pans. Two of them sat against the cocoa pan, smoking contentedly, while the third regaled them with an account of a beer drink he had attended the previous Christmas. Their shovels and sledgehammers leaned unemployed against the side wall of the drive. All three of them froze into rigidity as the beam of Kowalski's lamp played over them. "So!" The word burst explosively from Kowalski, and he snatched up a 14-pound hammer in one massive fist, reversed it, and struck the butt of the handle against the foot wall. The steel head of the hammer fell off, and Kowalski was left with a 4-foot length of selected hickory in his hand. "You boss boy!" he bellowed, and his free hand shot out and fastened on the throat of the nearest Bantu. With one heave, he jerked him off his feet onto his knees and began dragging him away up the drive. Even in his rage, Kowalski was making sure there were no witnesses. The other two men sat where they were, too horrified to move, while their companions' wails and cries receded into the darkness. Then the first blow reverberated in the confined space of the drive, followed immediately by a shriek of pain. The next blow, and another shriek. The crack thud went on repeatedly, but the accompanying shrieks dwindled into moans and soft whimperings, then into complete silence. Kowalski came back down the drive alone. He was sweating heavily in the lamplight, and the handle of the hammer in his hand was black and glistening with wet blood. He threw it at their feet. "Work!" he growled, and was gone, big and bear-like, into the shadows.